Developing a business case. A business case is a standardized, or relatively standardized, document intended to efficiently communicate what is being requested, by whom, for what reason, its investment cost, and its relative return on investment, ROI. It helps decision makers compare multiple requests in a consistent manner, helping them sift through various arguments to identify universal key decision points to compare and decide upon. Whether intended to communicate the value of the entire IPC program, a component of it, that is the surveillance program, or to request additional resources or investment in related areas, that is patient safety, IPs will need to be able to create a business case to share with facility administration. Note: business cases are not typically necessary for requirements that stem from regulations, like a surveillance program itself, but instead are used for ancillary/optional items, like electronic hand hygiene monitoring devices to enhance the surveillance program. This can be intimidating, as the healthcare field is filled with a variety of facilities, from small independent clinics and facilities to large, multi-state hospital chains. CMS data regarding ownership of hospitals in the U.S. shows that there is a mix of ownership models, with non-profit, for-profit, and government-owned facilities each. The size and ownership model of a facility will have an impact on the available resources and potentially on the administration's willingness to invest extra funding, beyond what is required to run the facility or by law. However, no matter the size and ownership model, facility administrators will almost certainly need to balance requests from multiple departments and entities and allocate a finite number of funds. This is where the business case comes in, highlighting the reasons that the IPC program, or components of it, deserves a larger share of that funding. To create an effective business case, it is important to show how investments in infection prevention, such as in surveillance programs, can lead to increased profits. There are many variables that can be considered, but for ease of understanding, we will focus on a few general concepts important to the relationship between infection prevention activities and profitability. Profit is the sum of all costs subtracted from the sum of all revenues. If revenue exceeds cost, a profit is generated. If cost exceeds revenue, the facility has lost money. At least with regards to hospitals, though this is likely true for most medical facilities, costs are overwhelmingly fixed, not variable. Fixed costs, around 90% of total cost for hospitals in the U.S., do not increase no matter the amount of patients seen. They include things like the cost to pay for the facility, utilities, and most labor. That is labor in nursing units, which are generally not able to be adjusted based on forecasted needs. Variable costs. Around 10% of total cost for hospitals in the U.S. may change over time based on demand, that is medication costs that change based on treatment needs in the facility. Because fixed costs make up such a large portion of total cost, increasing the number of patients seen does not increase costs by a significant amount overall. The majority of reimbursement, 60% in the U.S., for care is done on a case-based reimbursement basis, meaning that whether an individual is hospitalized for a day or for 10 days, the general reimbursement for that individual's treatment is the same. The remaining reimbursement is fee-for-service, in which the reimbursement increases as more services are provided. However, a portion of this revenue is often discounted through insurance agreements, at least in the U.S., and other payment incentives, decreasing the amount of revenue that each additional service adds. Key point. Taken together, the above points mean that generally speaking, hospitals increase profits by seeing more patients and decrease profits by seeing fewer patients and/or admitting patients for a longer period of time. This does not necessarily refer to exceeding capacity, which may incur additional costs that thereby end up reducing profits. Given that infection prevention activities reduce HAIs, these activities shorten the average stay of admitted patients and reduce the likelihood of readmission due to preventable HAI, which may lead to reduced compensation for care services rendered. By leading to faster discharges and thus freeing up facility capacity to see additional patients, infection prevention activities tend to increase profitability. A business case may consist of many different sections highlighting different information. For our purposes, we will focus on five main areas that will be necessary to any business case for IPC, the executive summary. This is a brief, well-written description of the basic facts of the initiative, that is the who, what, where, when, why, and how of the proposal. It should be no more than 2 pages long and should present a compelling, engaging argument for why the proposal warrants in-depth examination and consideration. Description. This is an in-depth discussion of the proposal. Discuss the problem that will be addressed, the plan processes necessary to achieve the objective, and why the facility should choose to allocate its finite resources to the proposal. This essentially goes through all of the points made in the executive summary and adds depth and detail to them. Benefits to be derived. This is a detailed explanation of the clinical, that is reductions in length of stay, improved outcomes, operational, that is improved staff productivity, faster response times, reduced employee turnover, and financial benefits, that is changes in volume, revenue, expenses, and profits, all in broad terms, financial analysis. This is a detailed breakdown of projected financial data supporting the financial benefits described at a high level in the previous section. There are many ways to project the financial impacts of an IPC program, and they require a strong financial understanding to generate. At a high level, there are a few financial tools or concepts that you should be aware of. Marginal profit and loss statement. This statement describes the incremental changes to revenue, cost, or profits that are solely associated with the proposed initiative. Benefit/cost analysis. This is useful for examining proposals involving investments in technology, equipment, and facilities. It generates a ratio, sometimes called a profitability ratio, by dividing the benefit derived from the investment by the cost of the investment. Generally speaking, a ratio greater than 1.000 should be pursued, and a ratio less than 1.000 should be rejected. The higher the ratio, the better the opportunity. Break-even analysis. This identifies the amount of volume needed to achieve a financial break-even, which is where there is neither a profit nor a loss. This can be used to help describe the risk of a proposal by highlighting that even if the proposal misses its projected outcome by a significant amount, it will not amount to a loss. For example, if a program is projected to reduce HAIs by 30%, but has a break-even point of 10% HAI reduction, it shows that the projection would have to be off by over 3 times before it cost the facility more money than it generated in value. Return on investment, ROI, this is one of the most important measures that decision makers use when considering proposals. It's simply the average value, or return, for a program divided by the average investment. The value in this calculation is the profit produced by the program. For example, if the IPC program is projected to generate $200,000 million in profit while costing $1.1 million in investment, it generates an ROI of 18.2%. Note that this is often calculated using projections for multiple years at a time, as many programs require a large investment when setting the program up, which subsequently declines as time goes on. Inversely, many programs will not capture the entire projected value during the initial phases of implementation but will generate progressively more value as time goes on. Though it is important to understand what these items are conceptually, it is best practice to work with your facility's finance department for assistance in acquiring and analyzing data related to the financial analysis when possible. Implementation plans. This area describes a clear set of steps that will be followed to achieve the desired, projected results. It will describe a logical and sequential order of major processes, that is, select and acquire new surveillance software, train staff on the use of the software, implement the software on a rolling basis from areas of most to least concern. This should include measurable goals and realistic timelines against which progress can be measured.